To Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17, ending in verse 34, where we see that there were really only two commands that Jesus left the church before his ascension: to be water baptized and to partake in communion. Through today's text, Pastor Dave will dive into these commands and show how special they really are, and how the church can often err in following them if we're not careful. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17.
Which suggests that these elements are simply symbolic. And him and Luther and the other church fathers would gather and they'd go over so many of these doctrines that we teach, I believe, clearly today. And they would sort of have this, oh, wow, yes, that's what you believe. Yeah, we believe that too. And there was this commonality. But then when they would come to the teaching of communion, there was this hot dispute. Hot dispute, so much so that it went public the way that they would go back and forth with their contention concerning this matter. They would argue and argue and argue. Zwingli would suggest, okay, so then is the Lord literally the door? He said that I am the door, right? And then Luther would sort of respond, well, that's a different context. And they would go back and forth and back and forth. Then John Calvin comes on the scene. He's also a contemporary to Luther, but later on he comes to this picture. And he writes out more clearly the idea of substantiation. And at the end of Luther's life, he comes to agree with Calvin on these things, but he never admitted that he did with Zwingli, which is kind of funny. I'm not going to admit that I agree with him. In fact, he even said that man is of another spirit and he's a compromiser. So I think that encourages all of us tonight that the best of men are men at best. These guys would have such contention over these things. John Calvin suggested that Jesus' presence in the bread and the wine was real, but it was spiritual, not physical. And that's where we are tonight. We believe that this object lesson is powerful. I don't want to just sit here and suggest to you that in a moment when the elders come forward and pass out the bread and the juice, that simply these things are mere symbols. Because I believe that they are more than mere symbols. I believe that they are powerful pictures given by God to us to remember him. I believe if you sit there with that piece of unleavened bread and you sit there with that juice and you just meditate on the things that are in front of us tonight in God's word and you behold these things, God's spirit will speak to you and illuminate these things to you. But I do not believe that his presence is contained in the elements. No way. Anyways, back to the lesson. He now goes on and he says this in verse 27, and there's some important stuff here. So we need to focus in on these last few minutes of our study. He backs up in verse 20 when he says, wherefore. He backs up to the problems that are there in Corinth with communion. He says, wherefore, verse 27, whoever is going to eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord, King James messes it up for us because it just says unworthily. We got a problem if it's just unworthily. Because I'm unworthy. Could you imagine if the trip was put on you tonight that if you're going to come to the Lord's table, you better come in a worthy way? You got a new King James, you got an ESV, I think even NIV nails it here. It's unworthy manner. That's very important. A lot of people get real ripped off. See, here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want anybody to start pulling their chair back, as it were, and dismissing themselves from enjoying the Eucharist tonight, from the giving of thanks to Jesus for the work of redemption, thinking, I can't come. I haven't been in church in weeks. I've been addicted to pornography. I've been speaking like a truck driver. Man, I've been in the world more than I've been participating in the things of God. How am I supposed to pull a seat to the Lord's table? See, we can't do that because we'll produce a lot of Pharisees in the room. We'll produce a lot of self-righteous, dangerous zealots in the church. It's not unworthily. That's not really accurate. It's unworthily in the sense of an unworthy manner. It's an adverb. It's speaking of a manner. It's speaking of an attitude. It's speaking of the fashion in which we come to take communion. It's like I said in the beginning, there's two problems with this ordinance. Either people put too heavy of an emphasis upon it, and they suggest it's your means of salvation, or they take it too lowly. They come too casually to the Lord's table. That's the rebuke. You are not to come to the Lord's table casually. Now, does that make sense to you? That's why I stopped doing it every first Sunday of the month. The Holy Spirit gave me discernment that the local church here, not everybody, but generally, it just became ritualistic. It was just another thing we do on the schedule. We got to fight that. We can't just do things out of monotony. We got to be careful of that. We got to let the Holy Spirit lead us in these things. It is a main thing. We are to do this often in remembrance of Him, and we do. But we got to make sure we're not just coming to Him, well, it's the first Sunday of the month. That's what we do. You understand what I'm saying? It's the manner in which you come. Don't come casually. Now listen, this is the one that will probably pierce the bulk of us. And don't come like Judas came, living a double life. See, that's why I don't think that, I'm not sure if it's fully saying, I don't think that that's speaking to an unbeliever. An unbeliever is in the world and is in sin. In this context, only a Christian can live duplicity, if they're really a Christian. So I got to wrestle with this. That's why Daniel and the team, Alicia and Michael, they're going to lead us in a song in a minute, because I got to say, Lord, turn the searchlight on. Communion is not just reflecting and remembering, and communion is not just looking ahead, but communion's looking inside. And I got to say, Jesus, oh boy. Search me and show me, Lord, if there be any wicked way within me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting. Can I call for an amen? I'm giving you this a lot. Are you with me? You with me so far? I'm up here like I just ran a marathon. I just want to make sure that y'all are getting spoken to by the Holy Spirit. You got to make sure that you're not, when you come and you eat this bread and you drink this cup of the Lord, make sure you're not doing it unworthily, because then you're being guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But rather do this, verse 28. Let a man examine himself. I inserted in my Bible there, I wrote your conduct. It helps me understand. Like, let a man do inventory. Don't worry about your neighbor, your wife, your son, your daughter, you know, your husband. Just, hey, you know what? Examine yourself. Look at your own conduct. But look what the Lord says. But then make sure you partake. Oh, I love Jesus. He's not like priests. We want to make people perform. We want to say to our kids, I want you to show me that you're sorry. I want you to prove to me that you're sorry. Now, I'm not going to give you this back, or I'm not going to unpunish you until you prove it to me. The Lord goes like this, hey, just as soon as you're done examining yourself and you confess, pull a seat up to the table, please, and partake. Did you see that flow? I've never seen it till today. This is new insight for me. As soon as the Lord says you've examined yourself, the Lord goes like this, now come eat. Don't beat yourself down. Don't beat yourself up that you haven't already attained. If you already attained, I would have taken you home. Please do not beat yourself up. Please do not say, well, I don't have victory in this area yet, or I don't have victory there. That's not what it means, unworthily, or else we're all donezo. You remember in Revelation chapter 5, that scene in heaven, when the Father has the scroll in His hand and the announcement is made, who is worthy to take the scroll from His hand? And it tells us in the masculine and the Greek, no, not one man is worthy to take and open the seal in the Father's hand. And then comes Jesus. He's the only one that's worthy. So if worthiness were a prerequisite to sup with our Savior, then man, we all have to go home. It was never that idea in Scripture. In the Old Testament, when the worshiper came with his sin sacrifice, it wasn't the sinner that was inspected by the priest. It was the offering. It was a foregone understanding that I'm guilty, obviously. That's why I'm here with my lamb. I'm guilty, obviously. That's why I'm here with my turtle dove. I can't be perfect. And we sweat it, and we beat ourselves up, and we pull our seats from the table. But Jesus goes like this, that's why I came. I'm not saying don't come unworthy, because none of y'all would be able to come. I'm just saying this. Don't come like abusing grace. Don't come living a double life, like intentional, deliberate sin, not stumbling sin and things that you don't mean to do or premeditate to do. Just don't come living duplicity. Don't come casually. Don't just do it because it's the first Sunday of the month or whatever it is. Do it because you love the Lord and you are so thankful that there is a way, there is the truth, and there is a life, and it isn't you. So just examine yourself, enjoy the worship, let him sing over you, and then when you're done saying, Jesus, forgive me. Oh, Jesus, I agree with you. Oh, my gosh, I didn't realize I talked to my kid that way, or I know I drove like a jerk on the way to church. And then the person pulled in right in front of me. That's always the worst, especially when you're the pastor. I got pulled over in this parking lot one time. Yeah, it was so embarrassing. The police officer had the lights shined on me. I'm ducking as low as I could go. At the time, I had a Saturn coupe. I was trying to get as low as I could. A Sunday evening service. And I got pulled over right in the church parking lot for rolling through a stop sign. I guess it's supposed to be 3 Mississippi before you go past the stop sign. I didn't count it. I'm just trying to think. Should I tell him any more of my sins I've done, or should I just keep going? I'm going to keep going. I don't got to confess to you, so I'll confess to him. So that's what he's saying. I hope this is setting people free tonight. Don't get ripped off. You haven't been here a while. People probably think, oh, they'll wonder why they're here. It's community. Who cares? You're here. I'm glad to see you. I love that this place is full on a Wednesday night. Don't ever, if one of my elders or ushers or greeters say, where you been, or give you a hard time, come tell me. I'll throw them in a snowbank. Don't let them. That's ridiculous. We're just glad you came, and welcome back, and welcome home, and Jesus loves you, and is never predicated upon your perfection. It's predicated upon his. I love the Lord, because this is the beauty of Jesus. I'm very defensive like John is, like Paul is. I've received, so I'm giving what I've received. He does not put trips on people. The night that he was betrayed, he instituted this one-sided covenant. And by the way, there's never been a more one-sided covenant than the cross. It was all Jesus and Father. We contributed nothing. He instituted this the night he was betrayed. He puts it in front of you tonight, and he extends his grace. So just, if you just please, I don't want to make it complicated. I just want you to confess. I understand you're still addicted to nicotine. You got a drinking problem. I catch fish, then I clean them. I know brother so-and-so has been putting trips on you. I don't put trips on people. Just come and tell, and then please eat and drink. Kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, verse 29, he eats and drinks damnation. The word damnation is not proper there. It's judgment. This will help you in your understanding. There's no definite article. It's not the damnation, which is speaking of like you're going to go to hell. Can I just set you free with scripture tonight? It's speaking of judgment here, okay? It's speaking of corrective judgment. The Lord will do that. He chastises those who he loves. Don't mess with him. Don't make mockery of him. Everything is naked and open before the one to whom we have to do. There is that balance there. Everyone that eats and drinks unworthily, playing games with God, you're asking for his judgment, corrective judgment. And you're not discerning the Lord's body. And I think Paul's speaking ecclesiastically and spiritually. Because as soon as he got knocked off his high horse on the road to Damascus, he right away understood what Jesus meant when he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Understanding me is the body of Christ. Ecclesiastically and spiritually. You follow? Well, I can't bust it open. We got to keep moving. But that's what he means. For this cause, many are weak and many are sickly among you and many sleep. That's the New Testament way of saying they die. Because as a believer, we don't actually die. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches us. So he says to us here, for this reason, people coming and they're living in this obnoxious sin of duplicity, many are getting weak and sick among you, and many are falling asleep. Now listen, I'll finish the chapter, then I'll give you the application and we'll close. He says, because watch what he does here. Watch how his language works. For if we, that's believers, because I don't want you to sit here and say, Pastor, you're wrong. It's not believer. No, yes, it is. For if we would judge ourselves, notice, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. There's further evidence. It's not the damnation. It's corrective judgment that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, that's the church, when you come together and eat and tarry, when you come together to eat, would you please tarry and wait for one another? And if any man is hungry, let him eat at home. eat a banana. My mother used to make us eat bananas before we go somewhere because we'd be invited, we'd eat all the food. Don't eat all the food. Eat a banana before you go to someone's house for dinner or whatever you got to do. So that when you come together, it's not into condemnation. And then he goes like this, and when I get to you guys, I'll set everything else in order. And I wonder what he was talking about, but we don't know. So in other words, he closes and goes like this, show some good manners. And how you show some good manners is be polite and show love. I didn't think I'd have to tell that to a bunch of adults, but he says I do. So when you're gathering together, be courteous of each other. Open the door for one another as you're trying to come in to do communion. Don't trample over each other or say, oh, here he comes again without his Bible. Oh, here she comes. She smells like smoke. You see that there? I mean, the Bible has to stoop to our level. Have some good manners and show love. Be polite to one another and don't talk trash about each other in the presence of the one that you came to honor. And doing so, you dishonor him by dishonoring each other. Now, he says that many are falling asleep. This is a question I get asked all the time, so I want to hit it real quick. He says many are falling asleep. They're getting weak and they're getting sick. They're dying because of their abuse of God's grace, and they're making mockery at the table. Can I tell you something? And I got to tell you this. This is wild. I was studying this verse, and I was writing these two things down that I'm going to share with you. Around 9:45 this morning, as I'm writing these things down, my phone goes off. It's my dad. He text messages me that my uncle had passed away suddenly and that my aunt found him on the couch this morning. And I write down on my notes, I don't even check my phone. I hear it vibrate. And I write down on my notes, there are only two reasons that saints die. One, because it's safer for them and everyone else. And two, because they finished their course. I couldn't believe it. I look at the text and I see my uncle passed away suddenly. It's tragic. He wasn't sick. And I thought, Lord, this is so wild how you just had me write that after I just read this to share with the people tonight. And it ministers to my heart so much. There's only one of two reasons why a believer dies. Because otherwise, until then, one of those two things I just gave to you, you are blood-bought and bulletproof. Hope it encourages you. If the Lord takes a believer home, I believe it's one of two of those reasons. It's either because it's safer for them, and everybody else that's in their life, they can't get it together. They are so addicted to heroin, or they're so addicted to alcohol. They're ruining their family. They're ruining their ministry. They're making mockery of the Lord. But even then, the Lord is so gracious. I love his grace. Please love it too. Because even then, because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, and he doesn't qualify that. He doesn't say because they were at Wednesdays and they were charitable and they were using their gifts of the Spirit all the time. He just simply says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of their saints. And we understand, mom and dads, everybody's got one of those kids. You know what I mean by that. The wild child in the family. And I just won't agree with you if you say otherwise, that the Lord is, it's this like anger toward his child, and that's why they pass. I just believe he looks down and says, I can't allow them to suffer this way anymore. They're making mockery. They're being mocked. They're making a mess of their lives. It's just better that I bring them home. That's my conviction. Or, like my Uncle Pete, he finished the course. That's it. And until we sleep, except I don't think we're the generation that's going to go to sleep, take a dirt nap. I think we're the generation that's going to hear the voice of the archangel and that trump sound. And I believe that we're going to hear those words come up hither. And we are going to drink of the fruit of the wine with our bridegroom. And we are going to be before him. And everything else that was seeking to rob our affection and our thought life and whatever else in the process and pursuit in this life is all going to be done away. And we are going to be before him. So I'm going to invite the team up to pass out the bread and the juice. And I'm going to say this to you. If your heart is pierced and you're moved by the work of Jesus tonight, would you partake with us when it's time? I would strongly suggest that if you are here tonight and you're not ready to get it right with the Lord, then in that instance, I don't think that you should partake. If you're just like, hey, I'm still hard, I'm numb, I really didn't listen to anything you said, then that's fine. You can just pass it. You don't have to feel like no one's going to hold it in front of you and make you feel weird. If you're here tonight, though, and you haven't committed your life to Jesus yet, listen, The Bible just says this: if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. And what I mean by saved is this: new creature in Christ. Everything to this moment up till now passes away and all things become new. How about this? I'm going to give you a chance before they pass it out to respond to the gospel. In a second, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and respond to Jesus if you need to do that. I'm going to ask you to repeat out loud. I want to tell you in advance so that you don't wonder, wait, what am I going to do? I'm going to ask you to repeat out loud after me a prayer of Jesus. I'm a sinner, and Jesus, you're the Savior. Will you come into my heart and be the Lord of my life? Forgive me of my sins. I'm going to invite you to do that. I'm going to invite you to pray it out loud, and I'm going to invite you to respond publicly because there's a promise attached to doing so. Jesus said, if you do that, then I will profess you before my Father and all the host of heaven when your day comes to go to sleep. But if you don't do that because you're ashamed, if you don't do that because you don't want people to know, well, he says, well, here's the problem. Then I will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So if you're in this place tonight, before these guys pass out these elements that speak symbolically of his body and his blood, if you're in this place tonight, you say, I got to make sure of this. I'm going to ask you right now just to raise your hand. Yeah, and you're raising it. God bless you guys. God bless your hands in the back. God bless you. Just raise it. God bless you. Come on, just raise it to Jesus. You're not raising it to me or for the show. You're raising it to the Lord. God bless you. I see the hands. Keep raising them to the Lord. You're raising it to the Lord. The world around you sees it. He is yours and you are his. This is your guarantee. You don't know when your death is going to come. God bless you. You guys with your hands raised, please repeat out loud after me. If anybody else wants to join in, you want to make sure that you know that you know. You repeat this prayer out loud after me. The rest of us, we are rejoicing with you, and heaven is standing up as I'm speaking, and they're throwing a party because the Bible says when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. So if you would, please, those of you, your hands raised, your heart bears witness, repeat out loud with me. Ready? Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins, and please come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Help me to follow you and pursue you all of my days. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and strengthen me to follow you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.